Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullins is a polemical, investigative-style book that questions the origins, structure, and influence of the United States central banking system. Written from a deeply skeptical perspective, it frames the Federal Reserve not as a neutral public institution, but as a powerful financial mechanism shaped by elite interests. The book is often discussed for its strong claims about banking history, the creation of the Fed in 1913, and the relationship between money creation, government finance, and economic cycles. Readers typically encounter a blend of historical narrative, institutional critique, and arguments about how monetary policy affects ordinary people through inflation, debt, and financial instability. Because the work is controversial and advances assertions that many mainstream historians and economists dispute, it is best approached as a viewpoint-driven critique rather than a conventional academic history. Even so, it can serve as a provocative starting point for exploring how central banking works and why it remains politically contested. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a revisionist origin story of the Federal Reserve. A central topic is the book's account of how the Federal Reserve came into existence and what motivations drove its creation. Mullins presents the founding as the culmination of long-running struggles over banking power in the United States, emphasizing secrecy, private influence, and behind-the-scenes coordination among financial actors. He highlights the early 20th century environment of recurrent banking panics, debates over currency stability, and tension between decentralized banking and centralized control. In this framing, the Federal Reserve Act is not simply a reform intended to stabilize the system, but a structural shift that entrenched particular interests. The narrative often points to the role of policy networks, banking families, and political intermediaries, arguing that institutional design favored a small set of decision-makers over broad democratic accountability. For readers, this topic functions as the lens through which all later arguments flow. If the origin is portrayed as captured, then later policy outcomes are interpreted as predictable. Engaging with this section can prompt useful questions about what problems the Fed was designed to solve, who influenced its blueprint, and how historians weigh evidence when describing institutional formation. Secondly, how money creation and credit expansion shape society. Another major theme is the power of money creation, especially through bank credit, and how that power redistributes wealth. The book argues that control over the issuance of money and credit enables far-reaching influence over prices, wages, asset values, and the stability of households. Mullins frames inflation not as an abstract macroeconomic variable, but as a lived experience that can erode purchasing power, shift savings outcomes, and increase dependence on debt. He also treats credit cycles as central to understanding booms and busts, suggesting that expansion and contraction of lending can steer economic conditions in ways that benefit financial insiders. This topic tends to emphasize mechanisms such as fractional reserve banking, interest rate policy, and government borrowing, connecting them to everyday consequences like rising costs and periodic crises. Even if a reader disagrees with the author's interpretation, the discussion encourages careful thinking about where money comes from, how banking leverage works, and why liquidity conditions matter. It also motivates comparisons with mainstream explanations of monetary transmission, helping readers map competing accounts of who gains and who loses from modern credit systems. Thirdly, governance, accountability, and the question of public control. The book repeatedly returns to the issue of governance, what the Federal Reserve is, who it serves, and how transparent its decisions are. Mullins portrays the Fed as insulated from normal democratic checks, focusing on its hybrid structure, specialized terminology, and policy process that can be difficult for the public to follow. From this viewpoint, complexity functions as a barrier that prevents citizens from evaluating decisions that affect employment, inflation, and financial stability. The author's critique pushes readers to examine the institutional design of central banking, including the relationship between regional reserve banks, the Board of Governors, private member banks, and the Treasury. It also raises questions about mandates and trade-offs, such as balancing price stability against growth or prioritizing financial system resilience during crises. This topic can be useful for readers who want to understand why central bank independence is defended by many economists, yet criticized by others. It suggests a framework for assessing accountability tools such as audits, reporting requirements, leadership appointments, and public communication, while also prompting skepticism about whether formal oversight translates into meaningful control. Fourthly, intersections of finance, politics, and wartime funding. Mullins connects central banking to state finance, especially the funding of large government programs and wartime expenditures. The book's argument treats the ability to create and manage liquidity as strategically important, enabling governments to borrow at scale and sustain spending beyond immediate tax revenues. In this narrative, the bond market, interest payments, and debt rollover become key channels through which financial institutions gain ongoing leverage. The author frames these dynamics as creating long-term dependencies, where fiscal policy is intertwined with banking incentives and where political decisions can be shaped by the availability of credit. This topic broadens the focus from purely domestic monetary policy to the larger architecture of power, how money flows to contractors, how deficits are financed, and how macroeconomic choices translate into real geopolitical outcomes. Readers can use this section to explore a legitimate and widely discussed question from multiple angles. To what extent do monetary institutions facilitate expansive government action, and what are the trade-offs? The book pushes a critical interpretation, but it also points readers toward examining primary issues such as debt sustainability, central bank balance sheets, and the historical relationship between war finance and monetary change. Lastly, evaluating controversial claims and building financial literacy, a final important topic is methodological. How to evaluate a highly critical, controversial book and extract value without accepting every claim. Mullins writes with a prosecutorial tone, often presenting patterns of influence and asserting hidden coordination and asserting hidden coordination. That style can be compelling, but it also requires readers to apply strong source discipline, compare accounts, and distinguish between documented institutional facts and interpretive leaps. This topic is less about the Fed itself and more about the reader's approach. The book can function as an entry point for building financial literacy by motivating follow-up reading on central bank history, monetary theory, and the mechanics of banking. Readers may find it helpful to cross-check major assertions against mainstream economic histories, official Federal Reserve educational materials, and scholarly debates about the Panic of 1907, the Federal Reserve Act, the Great Depression, and post-war monetary regimes. When used this way, the book becomes a catalyst for inquiry. It encourages readers to learn key terms, understand policy tools, and recognize how narratives are constructed around complex systems. The practical payoff is improved critical thinking about economic commentary, especially in an era of rapid information spread and politicized financial discourse. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who are skeptical of mainstream financial institutions, curious about alternative histories of U.S. central banking, or motivated to understand how monetary policy debates became so politically charged. It can also appeal to readers who enjoy contrarian, investigative narratives that connect economic structures to power, governance, and historical turning points. The primary benefit is not that it provides a final, universally accepted explanation of the Federal Reserve, but that it provokes attention to issues many people overlook, where money comes from, how credit cycles affect daily life, what institutional independence means, and how debt financing can shape public outcomes over decades. Used responsibly, it can sharpen a reader's ability to question claims about inflation, crises, and banking reforms, and to seek stronger evidence. Compared to more neutral introductions to the Fed, this book stands out for its forceful thesis and its attempt to link institutional design to real-world consequences. If you already own Basic Monetary Economics Guides, it can add contrast and urgency, encouraging deeper research and a more active, critical approach to understanding modern finance. If you would like to support Eustace Mullins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.